This podcast is sponsored by Kinexus Recruit, Ireland's leading digital recruitment agency. Whether you're looking to reach top talents, considering a career switch, or in need of guidance on the ever-changing talent landscape, partnering with Kinexus is a no-brainer. Hey everyone, welcome to The Interview Expert. I'm your host, Owen Murray, the CEO of YourHeart.ie. I will help you secure your dream job in less than 90 days. Thanks to each and every one of you who come back to listen, learn and grow. This podcast is where hiring managers from diverse backgrounds share their insights to support you on your interview journey. Join us as we explore tips, strategies, and real-world experiences to help you ace your next interview and land your dream job. In today's episode, join me in welcoming Joseph McGuire. Joseph has taught the ancient Chinese skill of face reading and body language since 1985, initially to healthcare professionals as diagnostic and communication tools. He qualified and practiced as a holistic therapist in several modalities for 30 years. In recent years, he has added skills from the fields of negotiation, interrogation, and elicitation. His primary focus has been on assisting clients with C-level interviewing, negotiation, executive communication, client profiling, and sales team communication skills. He has worked with clients in pharma, aviation, TV, financial services, amongst many others. He has now developed a proprietary behavioral negotiation program for business leaders. This provides in-depth understanding of their communication patterns and how they've perceived detailed insights into the behavioral patterns of their counterparts and real-time assistance in reading the room. He is highly experienced in the role of confidential and impartial and unbiased observer, and an NDA are a standard aspect of his client relationships. He's the author of Face Facts, The Art of Reading Your Clients and Prospects for Sales, Negotiation and Recruitment. Let's dive in. Joseph, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Morning, all. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm so excited to have you on the show. And I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself in a moment for our listeners. But a facial analysis expert, a human lie detector, and an executive interview skills mentor, and a keynote speaker. The list goes on, Joseph, but I'm intrigued to hear your introduction and all about you and who you are.
Yeah, well, that's it. I've obviously been around a while. I've done many different things in my time, but I've focused on being a facial analysis expert, facial profiler, body language expert. That's stuff I've been working with over the last 40 years at this point. I trained as a therapist originally, a branch of oriental medicine. So I learned about facial reading as a diagnostic tool, but I was more and more fascinated by the way they used it in Chinese business, Chinese politics, where the understanding was that our static facial features reveal so much information about our personality, behavior, style, how we communicate, both in terms of how we communicate externally and also how we process information. Stress triggers and responses and a lot more besides. So I've been teaching this for, since 1985. So I was bringing less and less of the diagnostic stuff and more of the behavioral, personality, communication aspects into it. And I've studied a lot of body language. I've studied with former FBI trainers in terms of interrogation, negotiation, body language, elicitation as well. So I've got a pretty broad palette there. And I work with people in a lot of different contexts. Aside from like the keynote bit, I've done a lot of interview work in both sides of the table, where I've been sitting in as part of the interview panel, but I've also helped people prepare for interviews. I help people with negotiation. I help teams with their communication, because one of the things that happens in life is people, even if they're experts, or often particularly if they're experts, assume that because something is clear in their own mind, it's coming out and very clear to the people they're talking to, which is not often the case. So I don't know if it's still the case, but in TV and movies, in the crowd scenes, like you'd have the main actors speaking, but the crowds behind them would be saying "Ruberg, Ruberg, Ruberg," and it sounds like real conversation. But if you're not speaking the language of your audience, it can sound to them like "Ruberg, Ruberg, Ruberg." So I help teams recognize each other's communication style, so they're speaking to the people rather than at them.
Very good. Very good. And I have to ask you about the FBI there that you mentioned. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, obviously, I haven't worked with the FBI, and I've no desire to get into the, you know, law enforcement side of things. There are quite a number of former FBI trainers out there now teaching like body language, teaching techniques they've used, they've learned in that field. And a lot of it is applicable to modern life, to ordinary everyday communication, business communication, and even in the world of interrogation. We've all watched movies, we've watched, you know, TV programs, and we've seen people, you know, thrown up against the wall and punched and threatened and all of that. And the really successful guys, the guys who really know their business, know that doesn't work. Because if you mm-hmm. threaten people and punch them, they'll tell you eventually what they think you want to know, but they won't necessarily give you the truth. So real interrogation is about getting into the mind of the person you're speaking to and drawing the information out of them so that they're actually giving it to you willingly. And you can't do that with force.
Very good. So you're saying that any hiring manager out there should not threaten their candidate in an interview situation. Is that what you're saying?
It's kind of counterproductive. And the candidate shouldn't threaten the interviewer either.
Okay, that's the top tip that you're giving today, Joseph. Very good. And you mentioned communication there. Like, how important is communication when it comes to, you know, an interview?
Communication is essential both ways. And that's one of the mm-hmm. things I find, again, having worked both sides of the table, I've seen holes, loopholes, as it were, on both sides of the table. So for the candidates, it still surprises me how many candidates don't research the people who are going to interview them. Like, it's easy to be informed about who the interviewer or the interview panel are likely to be. And it's easy to check them out on social media to see what their personal mm-hmm. interests are, how they present themselves, whether it's just an image of a photo of them, what kind of posts, you know, what are their posts, if they're on video, how do they speak? Because even something like matching their speech pattern can be very important. Because if the interviewer, for example, if the interviewer speaks really fast and you naturally speak very slowly, you're not a match. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be automatically off-putting. You can look at how they present themselves visually, and you can, I won't say copy it, but make sure your visual presentation is not too far off theirs. Because if you look vastly different from them, there's a distinct chance, because of the fact that we're all prone to bias, there's a distinct chance that yeah. unconsciously they will rule you out. And then from the interviewer side, and this applies more in terms of executive interviewing, I'm amazed that it's a global thing that two of the big flaws in executive interviewing are that they often don't check for culture fit, and they often mm-hmm. don't test for decision-making ability. It's quite astonishing.
That is. And I mentioned earlier, so you're a facial analysis expert, right? So when a candidate is, before the interview, goes on to the hiring manager's LinkedIn profile, can they tell anything from the way they look in their picture? Can they read anything from that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Obviously, with what I do, I can read a lot, even from a small thumbnail image. And I'm often given small thumbnail images to work with. But even very basic stuff, like just look at somebody's eyebrows and whether this applies to men or women. And I am aware that many women sort of sculpt their eyebrows. But if you can look at the basic eyebrow shape, if the eyebrows are essentially straight across, then these are people who are primarily linear thinkers. So you need to present yourself, present your case, your story in quite a linear way. Where if the eyebrows are more curved, and again, this can apply to men and to women, if the eyebrows are more curved, the personal connection is important. So you make sure you're relaxed in your manner. Whereas if it's, you know, if the eyebrows are more straight across, it's a more formal setting. And I'm not talking about, you know, slouching in the chair or anything, but just like you greet them with a smile. I recommend you greet them with a smile anyway, and whether that's in a virtual or a real world space. And then one other one with eyebrows. I could talk about eyebrows for it ever, but if the eyebrows are very thin, you don't overload them with information. They want it in small bites. So there's a few very basic things just from looking at eyebrows, never mind anything else.
Okay, that's, I never thought you could read someone's face like that. I didn't even think of it. So when a candidate is in the interview itself, Joseph, sometimes I suppose it's human nature to emulate the body language of someone that you're talking to, right? So yep. If they're smiling, you're smiling. If you're frowning, they're frowning, etc. If you maybe meet an interviewer, they've, you know, been interviewing all week, Friday afternoon, they've had 10 interviews, you're the 11th. They probably don't want to be there, and they're not smiling, and the body language is quite negative. How would you deal with that as a candidate, and how could you maybe overcome that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, again, the first thing is greet them with a smile anyway.
Yeah.
So it tells them you're relaxed, you're open. You're not there to challenge them, and if you're relaxed and open, it automatically triggers an internal response in them anyway. And the smile just helps them to settle down within themselves, even if it's, oh, thank God it's Friday and I want to go home. If that's what they're internally experiencing. And then you do look to match them to a degree in terms, particularly their tone of voice. And you make sure your voice is relatively soft. And some people, unfortunately, their voice is more staccato, more strident. So you make sure your tone of voice is soft. So you're soothing them. And then if they're obviously tired, and you will tend to, like, you don't have to be too observant to note when somebody is tired, because you'll see they're kind of just a bit slumped, or you'll hear it in their voice. There's almost like a sigh in the voice. You keep your answers short. So, and you ask them questions. That's okay. That's a way to draw them out, because so many interviewees think it still astonishes me that so many interviewees don't get the idea, don't get the message that an interview is a two-way process. But if you engage the interviewer by asking them questions, but even very basic stuff like, what's your experience here? You know, and then you can get into the more specific stuff in terms of like if I'm the successful candidate, how would I know, you know, within what would be the indicators after 90 days or whatever that I'm doing well? If you want to really push it, how would I, what's the question? There's one at the tip of my tongue here. How
maybe
can I,
like, what are the challenges in the role, something like that?
But, if I'm the successful candidate, how can I be assured of being involved in projects that are essential for the company to thrive or the company to develop? It shows that you're really engaged. You really want the job. It's a fairly direct question, but it's sort of
being positive assumptive as well, isn't it?
That's, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Your interviewer was imagining you in the job in that case.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. And you're right. Interviews are a two-way street. And I always say that to anyone I work with, that, you know, at the end of the process, if the business haven't sold you the business, you haven't got a sense of who everyone is, and they haven't done enough selling to you, and you need to make that informed decision at the end that actually, you know, you sell to them, they didn't sell to you. So that would be a red flag for me.
Absolutely.
Especially if you've got another offer at the end of the process where the company has sold you and you've had a better candidate experience, etc. I really like that. And the eyebrows thing, I may be looking at scanning LinkedIn and looking at everyone's eyebrows. Just.
Yeah, it's amazing what little details, the amount of information little details can provide. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I suppose we're in a world now, Joseph, where virtual interviews, you know, from what I've experienced over the last, since COVID, you know, 70-80% of interviews now will be virtual. And in some cases, during the whole interview process, all the interviews are virtual and there's no face-to-face, right? And maybe there's roles that could be 100% working from home, which is fine. But how important is it if you get the opportunity to actually meet an interviewer face-to-face? How important is that interview?
I would say, personally for me, I would prefer it, but obviously you don't necessarily have the choice. So you have to go with where the company's at, particularly if you really want the job. And there are people, obviously, as we know, who will go to interview after interview and just hope that something slots into place and they don't necessarily care what. But I would say it's certainly you can get a far better read of somebody if you meet them face to face. Like I've been obviously working as you have online for quite some time, but there's a whole different dynamic when you meet somebody face to face. And whether that's in a formal setting like an interview or in an interview room like an office, or some interviews now, as we know, also happen like in a cafe or a restaurant. That tends to be executive interviews. Because that's a test in itself to see how you present yourself in public, how you deal with the waiter or waitress, how you communicate in public. But certainly there's so many aspects to meeting in person that for me trump the virtual experience.
Yeah, I think it still doesn't beat anything, you know. It's the best way of interviewing. And would you suggest that if there is an opportunity maybe to proactively suggest to meet someone face to face, if all the interviews have been online, would you suggest that to an interviewee to, you know, maybe cement their application and maybe give them more of a chance of actually securing the job?
I would say if you're applying for a senior role, it's a lot easier to do that. If it's a junior role, you probably don't have that kind of leverage. But if it's, if you're like some companies I know will have like a 7-stage process. I've been engaged with some of those. And if you're at stage 3 or 4, if you've made it that far, then maybe it's something you could suggest. But if you're at just stage 1, it's probably pushing it.
Yeah, I think towards the latter end of the process, maybe it makes sense. But for example, if you're in, you know, a place like Dublin and the business is, you know, a couple of miles from you, there's no reason why you shouldn't even have an informal coffee with your potential manager at the end of the process.
Yeah.
And I think to proactively mention that would veer in the candidates, you know, be a positive for them, a plus, and the fact that they've proactively done it as well, like giving them more of a chance of getting an offer. So for any candidate going into an interview then, Joseph, what are the basics when it comes to their own body language? Maybe the top 2 or 3 things they should remember.
The first thing is to practice relaxation. Because if you come across as tense, that communicates itself. I remember an interview with Matthew McConaughey some years ago, and he was talking about when his career was struggling and he was going for auditions and he wasn't getting them, just nothing happening. And he was talking with a flatmate at the time, somebody sharing a flat or apartment with, and he was telling him a story. And the guy said, yeah, desperation leaves a smell. So if we're tense or desperate, our body is transmitting that. So the first thing is to practice relaxation and then enter the interview with a smile, whether it's real or virtual. Enter the interview with a smile. Greet the person with a smile. It automatically triggers a mirror neuron response, which creates a degree of relaxation in them. And it tells them we're not a threat. We're open to engaging. But you have to have done your research beforehand. You have to have looked up their social media profile. And obviously some Some business people are only on LinkedIn and they're only, you know, they're only doing a professional, presenting a professional image on social media, not doing Facebook, Instagram, or any of those. But even if you're just looking at their facial features, if you're looking at the type of posts they do, that will tell you something about them, will give you insights into their personality, their approach. I've mentioned the eyebrows. If somebody, just a couple of other ones, I mean, I'm kind of like Columbo, you know, the TV detective. There's always one more thing when it comes to a face. But if the eyes are deep set, then these are people who will be, no matter what their eyebrows are like, these are people who will be taking a lot of information in as you're talking, and a lot of it will be sensory information. So how you speak is important. Again, if you tune into their pattern of speech. If they speak fast, you speak fast. If they speak slow, you speak slow. If they're more high pitched, you bring your voice up a little. So those things are important, because it's a matter of frequency, resonance. There's just a few.
I've been in a few interviews, Joseph, where I see from the interviewer's perspective that they're not listening to me. Maybe it's just something that I kind of naturally notice. But what are the signs when you're actually interviewing and someone's not listening to you?
Ask them a question. That's the first thing I would do. If it appears that somebody's not listening, that they're twiddling with a pen, they're looking off to the side. Obviously, you'll see that more on a virtual rather than a face to face interview. But if they're looking down, they're twiddling with a pen, they're continually lifting a cup or a mug or whatever, or they're just kind of looking up and they're not really responding. I would ask them questions to draw them out, to show that I'm actually present. And then if they're still not engaging beyond that, then it tells me they're not representing the company in a good way. So I probably don't want to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really important, because, you know, I think as a candidate, when you're saying in an interview like that and someone's not listening to you, you have to ask yourself, you know, if they're not listening to you now, are they going to listen to you if they hire you?
Ask them short questions.
Okay, so get them sort of re-engaged, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. And what are your top tips then when it comes to interviewing, Joseph?
To interviewing?
Yes.
Yeah, so being on the other side of the table. Yeah.
No, sorry, as a candidate. Sorry.
Oh, as a candidate. Yeah. You have to know why you want the job in the first place. You have to do your research. I mean, the old Benjamin Franklin thing, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. If you haven't done your research, not just into what's on the website, but look at forums to get information about what people are saying about the company, what people are saying about working there. If you know people who have worked there, or you know people who know people who've worked there, get as much inside information as you can about what it's like to work and what different departments. Make sure again that you are calm and relaxed. And a lot of people are very, very nervous about interviewing. So do mock interviews with family, friends, whatever, and record them, so you get a clear sense of how you're likely to perform in an interview, and practice until it becomes more natural. Like, I know it's not the same thing, but apparently Steve Jobs, before he would do a presentation, you know, the latest Apple device, whatever, he would prepare for like 72 hours. Now, obviously that's taking things to another level, but if you really want the job, and you're inclined towards feeling nervous, practice, and record it. So you get to see yourself and you look at what you can change, and you ask for advice from people who've been there. what do I need to change? How do I come across here? And how do I change it? Not just what do I need to change, but how can I change it so that I come across in a much more coherent and convincing way?
Absolutely. And I've done that myself, going to interviews, even on the Dart or driving to the interview. I've recorded myself. And then on the way to the interview, I've listened to it back. And actually, when you're in the interview itself, it just kind of flows out of your mouth. It's a lot easier and more fluid. So yeah, I really like the example of Steve Jobs. About 72 hours. I'm not surprised. Obviously, yeah. It was so impressive. And I know he only used to use one or two slides in his presentation as well. So yeah, love that example. Joseph, where can my listeners find you?
The easiest place to find me, Owen, is on LinkedIn. I'm more active there than anywhere else. I do have a website, but it's been neglected, to put it that way. I have a lot of catching up to do there, but LinkedIn's the place to find me. Joseph McGuire -facefacts.
Fantastic. I will add that to the bottom of the episode as well. Any podcasts or book recommendations?
Gosh, it depends on what people are looking for. I've been interviewed on so many different podcasts. They're podcasts I particularly love to pay attention to. I probably watch more. I do more watching on YouTube than anything else. And a lot of that is from my own learning. I pay a lot of attention to the behavior panel on YouTube. They're a group of three American body language experts and one Brit living in Canada. And that's the American spelling, BEHAVIOR. They've had like 200-300 different episodes, and they'll take a famous person, an interview of a famous person. Like yesterday, they're featuring Kevin Spacey. So they'll do assessments of the behavior of key individuals. And it could be celebrities. It could be people who were caught in crime. It could be politicians, whatever, and they'll give their take. And there's always some invaluable insights into how to read people.
Fantastic, Joseph. And thank you so much. It's been enlightening and so informative. So thank you for all that, and really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Owen. Absolutely my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Interview Expert. Make sure to check out our website, yourhired.ie. where you can subscribe to the show and also find out more interview tips and tricks. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Owen Murray is available for private coaching. See our website for details at yourhired.ie. Until next time, do good, feel good, and be good.